all, and happy Mother's Day. Come on now, happy Mother's Day. We can get excited about the Warriors. You can get excited about moms, right? Come on. Okay. I want to just say Mother's Day. Man, what a special day. Moms. What would we do without moms? Where would we be without? We wouldn't be, right? We are grateful for moms. And I tell you what, we want to celebrate you today, moms, and we want to celebrate ladies that may have so many different feelings too. I want you to know that I prayed for you this week. There may be people here this morning. It is the first time or recently you've had Mother's Day roll around and your mom's no longer here. Maybe that you are celebrating Mother's Day and maybe the relationship with your mom is strained right now, right? That's possible. Been praying that God would be at work in all of those situations. You might be a mom here today and you work your tail off outside of the home. You might be a mom here today and you work your tail off inside of the home. So many different things. You may be here praying and waiting on God to be able to have a child. I just want you to know we love you. We're glad you're here today. Wherever you're represented on that spectrum and the many things that I didn't say today, some of you have served in a motherly capacity as you've taken care of kids that weren't born to you biologically and been a mom to them, all different kinds of things. Thank you from a pastor who appreciates and loves moms. And I mean that with all my heart. And I'm glad that you're here today on this Sunday. I hope it's special for you. Hope you enjoy it. God's given you a beautiful day. I can tell you that. That's a good thing, right? And on that beautiful day, we have a local company, and I'm kind of taken away from one of Joel's announcements that he's going to give in a little while. But there, yeah, okay, I'm going to go ahead. Thank you, Joel. We reached out to Nothing Bundt Cakes. Ah, you guys like the clever little name, right? They donated all these cupcakes, and they say Happy Mother's Day on the top. You guys can wrestle over who gets what flavors and everything later, but we want you to know after the service, if you feel today is a day that you're celebrating, you come up. Guys, no, you don't get one. Ladies, come up and you enjoy that. And by the way, if you ever go by there, the place of business, thank them. Say, hey, I was at East Valley Church, or I'm from East Valley Church, and you guys were really kind to us on Mother's Day. We appreciate that. So mothers out there, we salute you, and God bless you. Amen? Amen. All right, well, I tell you what, I'm going to try something a little bit different today. I'm going to be not preaching so much, more of a teaching thing over the next few weeks that I'm with you all. By the way, it's good to be back. I've been out of the pulpit for a couple of weeks and blessed to have Matthew and Joel fill in during that time and bring the word of God. Did you guys enjoy hearing from them? Yes, amen, amen. Yeah, give him a hand, that's okay. Thank you. To God be the glory, and thank you, guys. Miguel, if you could get us to the first slide, brother. I know you're on the way there. Then I'll take it from there, okay. I'm going to be speaking to you in the weeks to come about serving within the church and spiritual gifts. Those two things, spiritual gifts and serving within the church. A few months ago, I actually taught on a couple Sundays on this very topic in the community room, and a handful of you came out and were a part of that. I really appreciated that. And by the grace of God, got a lot of encouragement from people saying, that was really helpful, that was really good. And we decided, hey, maybe we'll just bring this right over here to the worship center, and on a Sunday, go through it together. And so these are some things that are really significant and important to us within the church, spiritual gifts, and to be engaged in serving, right? And so here's what I want to do. I want to begin by saying this guy, his name is Dr. Mike Fabares. He is the pastor at Compass Bible Church in Aliso Viejo, California, which is somewhere down near San Diego, if I remember right. It's down south. He has written a wonderful little discipleship resource that I really love. And by the way, if you're looking for pastors and people to listen to on the radio. Focal Point Radio Ministry is the one that this guy is connected with. I really appreciate him as a solid Bible teacher. Here's a guy who did his undergraduate at Moody Bible Institute, then his master's degree through Talbot and his doctorate through Westminster Theological Seminary. Solid guy, godly man, and he's written this resource, Partners, One-on-One Discipleship. In that book, there is a chapter that discusses the very things that we're going to talk about now and over the weeks to come. And I ate it up. I absolutely loved it. Whenever you study this subject and you begin to look at spiritual gifts, you'll realize right away there are a lot of different people that have different views on that subject, right? Are we aware of that? Yeah. And guess what? A lot of different people that love God, that know Jesus, and they have different opinions on this matter, right? And so I would just say this, that over the weeks to come, I want to encourage you with me as we walk through this to be challenging ourselves to say, well, is what we're looking at, is what's being said, is it biblical, right? Does it line up with what the Bible is saying? Here's what happens sometimes in life for us is that we will arrive at what we believe sometimes based on our experience or our circumstances, right? And sure, those things factor into shaping us and they contribute to those things. But when it comes to things that God's word speaks to, we want to be sure that to the best of our ability, as we go to this book, God's book, this inspired word, that we're saying, what does his word have to say about spiritual gifts? What does his word have to say about serving within the church? And we want to seek to shape what we believe from what God has said, right? Does that make sense? That's the way it should always be, right? Come on, now you guys out there believe that, right? Okay, so we're going to be enjoying this together. I put him up here not because I get commission off anything he sells, but because I respect him as a Bible teacher that has influenced how I go to and look at the scriptures about this issue. And so I just want to acknowledge that from the very beginning so that you guys know and aware of that. Let's start this series that we're going to be going through by having a couple goals. Okay, we're going to define a couple goals. And here's the first one. The first goal is that if I could see what was back there, I would tell you what it says, but I have the notes here just in case. To gain some clarity around the topic of spiritual gifts. Now, I just talked about this just a moment ago. If you could somehow do an aerial photo of East Valley Church and you backed up even to look at all the churches in this area within 1 or 2 miles of this church, you will find different churches that believe different things about this issue. And we would say it's something that's really important. So again, we want to be going to the Word of God. Why? To seek to gain some clarity about what it teaches, right? That's where we go for clarity. So to gain some clarity around the topic of spiritual gifts. Second, I would say this. Now, this is where it gets kind of personal. You ready for this? We're going to be evaluating or giving you opportunities to evaluate how God has gifted and equipped who? You. All right. Some people were able to read that. God has gifted and equipped who? You. To serve or to advance the biblical goals and objectives of God at East Valley Church and his kingdom goals in general, perhaps even outside of the church. Just want to say this, that I do believe with all my heart, God intends for you to place priority upon how you are generous toward him with your resources and with your service to the local church that you're a part of. Well, does that mean that I can't be engaged in things outside of the church? No, absolutely not. Just saying priority to the place where you assemble locally. How are you serving God within this context here at East Valley Church, if East Valley Church is your home? So those are going to be a couple of our goals going in, to get some clarity about spiritual gifts. Second, to evaluate how God has gifted and equipped you to advance the biblical goals of East Valley Church and his kingdom. I want you to consider this great verse. If you can see it there, go ahead and I'm going to read it to you. And just let's think about this for a moment. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And it says this, as each has received a gift. Who's received a gift? Each. Are you a part of each? If you belong to the family of God, if you have placed faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is a passage that's saying what? You have received what? A gift from God. As each has received a gift, what are we supposed to do with it? Use it to serve one another. Use it to serve one another as, and I love this this idea in Scripture, being a good steward of what's been entrusted to you, right? So here's what this passage is telling us. God has given each one of you, every one of you in this room, if I could make eye contact with everybody here, a gift. And the question is, are you engaged in using what he has given you to serve one another? Now, maybe you haven't been here very long and you're saying, I'm looking for how I can do that. And we say, praise God, wonderful. Maybe you've been here for a while and you're engaged in serving him in a number of different ways. Some of you in multiple ministries, and we praise God and are thankful for you. What happens at East Valley couldn't happen apart from your involvement. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. The question is, are we being good stewards of what God's given to us, not whether or not he's given anything to us. Amen. It's okay to say amen. I'm going to pray for us as we get rolling into this topic. Would you join me as I do that? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you even for what we've seen already, Father, that to those of us who are in Christ, you've given us a gift. God, and you've called us to be good stewards of it, to use it, to serve one another. Father, it's never for ourselves that you give it. It's for the benefit of the body. And so we pray that you'd speak to our hearts as we go through this subject together in the weeks to come. Lord, we love you and we pray that you'd use it for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's begin. And I'm multitasking here, right? I'm looking at my notes and I've got to remember to advance the slides as well. Let's begin by taking a look at what the Bible says about the important roles, okay? Important roles, not only of people that he's given to the church, like evangelists and pastors and teachers, but also the role that he's given to the saints, to everyone who belongs to the church. By the way, it's the idea of saints, the idea is holy ones, and God's doing a work in our lives through the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit to be making us more like Jesus. Are we perfectly holy? Absolutely not. But is God's at work within us? Can he be accomplishing or making us more like Jesus so that we reflect the God that we love and serve? Absolutely. And so if you're here today and you're in Christ and you know him, biblically you are a saint. So let's begin by taking a look at what the Bible says, not only about the role of evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but also what it says about the saints within the church. You who belong to the church, by the way, the pastors, the evangelists, and teachers are also saints who are part of the church, right? It's not like they're some separate higher thing or whatever. They are part of the church. And as I read these verses to you, I want to challenge you to think through who does what within the church when church happens biblically. Who does what? And so I want to ask you or encourage you to take a look. If you can read it, you can read along with me. If not, just listen. I'll be sharing it. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. The Word of God says he gave the apostles, the prophets. Then he says the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. And he gave them to the church for a purpose. Ready for this? What was their purpose? Why were they given? Verse 12, to what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So I want to just say to you first that I've mentioned evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. These are people I believe God still gives to the church today. I did not mention specifically apostles and prophets because I do not believe that they are given to the church today as a spiritual gift in the same way that they were at the time that this book was written. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the weeks to come. Not right now, but I'm just throwing that out there to you. I'll be giving you reasons why I don't think that that's the case. But within the church today, I believe there are evangelists. There are definitely pastors. There are teachers. They're given to the church, according to Paul, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, I don't necessarily know or believe that any of you think this, but what some people think is that the people who are the evangelists, pastors, and teachers are the ones that go out and do all the what? They go do all the work, right? We worship on Sunday, you know, maybe on a good day we drop something in the offering plate or whatever, man. They're the paid professionals, right? But this is good for us to see that God's given those that are pastors and shepherds and evangelists to the church to help equip who? The saints to do the work of the ministry and to build up the body of Christ. He goes on to say in the next couple of verses, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to, listen to this, mature manhood, and I realize I didn't advance it there, to mature manhood or mature womanhood, to be mature followers of Christ, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be, can you see what it says? Children. Wow. Part of why God has given evangelists, pastors, shepherds, teachers to the church is to equip them to do the work of the ministry so that they may be growing and that they may be maturing and that they may no longer be children. These are Paul's words. Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. He goes on to say in verses 15 and 16, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are, and he's talking about even himself as one of the saints, we are to grow up. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. And listen to what it says. I love this. When each part is working properly, makes the body what?
Grow.
Isn't that amazing? So that it builds itself up in love. So according to Scripture, listen to this, growing churches are made up of gifted, and I'm saying gifted because we've already seen that God has given each of us who belong to the body of Christ a gift. A growing church is made up of gifted and equipped people. Remember, it was the evangelists, pastors, teachers. It was their duty to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, and Christians who are growing. And you know what? They're not, these people in a healthy church, they're not passive or absent. They're not passive or absent. So according to Scripture, growing churches are made up of gifted, equipped, and growing Christians who are not passive or absent. And do you see what I wrote there at the very end? Every member is what? Needed. Every member is needed. We need you guys. This church needs you, ladies and guys that are here today. We need you. God has gifted you, if you're in Christ, to be serving one another within this church. And I tell you what, if you're not in some capacity, who's missing out? Well, that's good. There's multiple answers to that. Because you are, if you've been gifted and you're not serving, but who else is? The church is missing out. I remember meeting a guy at Costco one day, and we started talking. Pretty soon, it begins to sound like the guy's a believer, and oh, yes, man, he goes into talking all about the gospel and all these sort of things. I said, oh, man, that's so great. We just met at Costco one day, right, in the food court or wherever we were, right, on the way out. And I said, well, where do you go to church? And he says, oh, I'm not really in a church right now. And I said, well, you know what? Somewhere there's a church that's missing out because you're not there. He kind of looked at me and said, what? They're missing out. If you belong to Jesus and you are part of the church, God's gifted you to be serving and ministering to others there. For his glory, we need you. Everybody in this room, you're needed. This isn't a guilt trip. I'm asking you to walk with me, to journey with me through scripture and see what God has to say about service within the church and how he's gifted us and what a healthy church looks like. I am assuming, and I think I can say this with confidence, that everybody here wants to see East Valley Church be a healthy, thriving, growing church. Amen? Amen. Absolutely. Are you playing your role in that? Are you playing your role in that? If not, not trying to make you feel bad, I'm here to say today, we need you. You're important. And that's by God's design, not by just something I came up with on my own. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:22. And he's using this analogy of one body that's functioning and all the different body parts that are a part of that one body, right? Look at what he says. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Every part is needed. And what's this idea of seem to be weaker? You know what? There are some of us, maybe when we look at gifts and how people within the people serve within the church, we might think some gifts are the most important gifts. Those are the big ones, right? The big ones. And maybe even some people might think in the role that I'm blessed to be in, I would just say this, my role is very visible. It's very upfront. It doesn't make my role any more important than what's happening in other places of the church, even right now, as there are people over there this morning serving and ministering to our kids. If I understand what God has to say about each of our gifts being indispensable and how they all benefit the body of Christ, I can honestly say that what I'm doing now is not more significant necessarily than someone over there who might be sitting with one or two little ones in the nursery and might even have to change a diaper before they go today, right? Somebody who sets chairs up or prepares coffee and refreshments for people so that when they get to church, they benefit from that and they're blessed. People who greet one another as you come through the door on Sunday mornings. We all are part of this body, and God's given us gifts to serve one another. We need to be engaged in doing that. And according to God's word, every one of you is indispensable. So I asked this question, and I'm guessing you know, did you know that you are indispensable to the success of East Valley Church? And as I say that, you go, yeah, man, I am. This church needs me. This church needs me, right on. Well, as I say that, let's keep this in mind. As empowering as it may be to know that you are needed, that should never lead to feelings of pride or being puffed up about it, right? Okay. Because sometimes you start serving within the church and some folks get a little bit excited about that, right? And maybe if we're not careful, we can see our role as being bigger than the role somebody else plays when really we're all working together. And I point this out because consider what Paul says. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. It says, and this is Paul speaking, you got to keep in mind, here's a man that God used to write much of the New Testament to us, right? Listen to what he says. He says, I thank him who has given me strength. Who's given Paul strength? He goes on to say, Christ Jesus, our Lord, because he judged me faithful. And he says this, appointing me to his service. Paul is saying that Jesus is the one who has appointed me to his service. He then goes on to say, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but he says what? I received mercy from God because I acted ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, if Paul could say this, you know, and here's a guy who could speak and preach and write as the Spirit of God moved him. If he could say, Jesus was the one who appointed me to ministry, to his service. If he could say, I've received mercy from God, and the grace of the Lord overflowed toward me to be able to serve him the way that he is. How then should we consider our role? I just ask this question. If this was the testimony of the Apostle Paul, how then should we view our own ministry and service within the church? What do you think? Say, hey, God picked me out. This church is so blessed to have me because I graduated from such and such school, right? No. Jesus is the one who's appointed me to serve him here at this church. By the way, Jesus was the one who led and is our example of service, isn't he? I want to say it's Mark 10:45, where the word of God says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? To serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is our model of service. And if someone as significant in the history and ministry of the church, the Apostle Paul could say, it was Jesus who gave me this opportunity, shouldn't that be how we view it as well? Yeah, because of the mercy of God and the grace of God. And by the way, the more messed up you were before you came to him, the more glory he probably gets from the work that he's done in you, right? Paul could say, man, I was a persecutor, a blasphemer. It was all these things. Paul did all kinds of terrible stuff probably you and I haven't yet done by the grace of God. And God would say, yeah, that's the guy I'm going to put my mercy and my grace on display in. And he works mightily through weak people. I'm going to just step away for a moment and say, I would not be in ministry today if God had not convinced me that he could work through weak people. I was so insecure, you guys don't even know. I was terrified to speak in front of people years ago. I was a junior high pastor, and I used to, when I first started in ministry, and I would always have a stool, and I would sit on the stool because I was literally too afraid to stand up and just talk to the kids. For some reason, I felt more comfortable sitting down. I'm just saying, you bring your weakness to God, he will do something with you, something special. He's gifted you, and he intends for you to be engaged in serving the body with the gifts that he's given you. So if God's given each of you an indispensable role to play within the church, and he has, it's important that you know what your role is, right? So you go, great, I've been given a gift, I've got a role, I'm supposed to be serving within the church. What is it? And if God wants you to serve him with the gifts he's given you, and he does, wouldn't you agree we should be able to open his word and not be thoroughly confused when we begin to look at the topic of spiritual gifts? Doesn't that make sense? We've been gifted. Who has? Every one of us who was in Christ. For the benefit of the body of Christ, to the glory of Christ, you would think that God would not have left us in the dark so that we'd be absolutely confused when it comes to understanding how to use our gift and serve him within the church. And I believe that's true. I believe it's been complicated in different ways. And so we're going to begin now just to make a few basic observations about spiritual gifts. And we're going to get to just a couple of them today. I shared with you that this was really something I did in two, almost 1.5 hour sessions on a Sunday. And now I'm going to bring it into probably about 4 messages on a Sunday in the worship center here during this teaching time. But as we said, we want God's word to inform how we think about spiritual gifts. Let's begin, like you do in Bible study, with observing. Observation is the beginning of that process. So we're going to be doing that. First thing I want you to think about this morning is this, and I want you to see. The Bible uses several different words when it discusses the topic of spiritual gifts. So when the Bible speaks about spiritual gifts, there are multiple words that are used when it talks about it, okay? And I'm going to show you exactly what I mean here in just a moment. This is important. We'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll see that within a chapter, that the entire chapter is about spiritual gifts. We're going to see multiple words used for those gifts within the same chapter, and they emphasize different things, but they're all speaking of the spiritual gifts that we're talking about today that God's given to each member of this body if you belong to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6 says, "Now there are varieties of gifts." And Paul uses the word charisma for gifts, okay? This is one that comes up quite a bit. We'll talk about it a little bit more. What do I want you to know right now? There's one of the words that's used when it comes to talking about spiritual gifts. Second, but the same Spirit, he says. And then in verse 5, "And there are varieties of service." He's still talking about spiritual gifts here. Now keep this in mind as he uses these different words. There are varieties of gifts, charisma, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service. And the word for service is diakonia. And would you like to take a guess what word we get from that? What does it sound like? Deacon. And what is the role of a deacon biblically? Not always as it's defined within churches. Biblically, they are servants. They're servants. There are varieties of gifts, charisma, one word, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, diakonia, second word, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities. Energema is the word. But it's the same God who empowers them all. In everyone. What is the point that I'm wanting you to get right now? When the Bible speaks about spiritual gifts, there are multiple words that are used when it talks about gifts. This is the simple point that I'm pointing out to you right now. And here's something that we want to be careful about. So I put up here, beware, right? Here's a caution. In English, the word gift, and if you've ever noticed this, sometimes we bring baggage with a word, right? The word gift often prompts us to think of someone with a very special ability or exceptional talent. So we hear this word gift, and I tell you, when I think of it this way, I can remember we were living in Lafayette, and Micah was at a little school called Burton Valley Elementary School out there, and we go, and there's some parents we had become friends with, and we find out there's this one young boy who is like a piano prodigy, and he's 5 years old, and they're talking about, yeah, well, if you go on YouTube, you can go on YouTube. What are you talking? So I go on YouTube. Sure enough, this kid's just, you know, like just playing stuff you couldn't believe. Well, what do we say when something like that happens? We go, that young man has a gift. Sometimes we bring that type of thinking with the word gift when we talk about spiritual gifts. And that might contribute to us devaluing some of the very important gifts that there are within the church that maybe aren't as flashy, right? And that sort of thing. So we want to keep that in mind. In English, the word gift often prompts us to think of someone with a very special ability or exceptional talent. And we say, that young man or a woman or young woman has a gift. However, in Greek, in the original language that God used to bring us the New Testament, the word for gift is built on the root of, remember we said it was, one of the words was charisma. Remember we saw that? So this word for gift is built on, here's the root of the word, charis. Charis, and that word means, want to take a guess what? Grace. So when we hear the Bible talking about these gifts that we've been given, the emphasis isn't upon the crazy talent or ability that we have connected with the gift. What you're going to see is these different words are used the emphasis is placed upon the grace of God in giving the gift, right? We know and we've been taught, and we should understand that we understand grace is all about God giving us a gift, right? If we did something to earn it, it's not what? It's not grace, right? In the Greek, the word for gift is built on the word charis, which is the word for grace. So what's the significance again? When the Bible is discussing spiritual gifts, the emphasis is upon God's generosity in giving the gift. The emphasis is on God's generosity in giving the gift, not the exceptional ability or talent of the individual. And so that's something that's good for us to keep in mind. Let me just keep moving with this and say, think about this. The entire chapter of 1 Corinthians, 31 verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, discusses spiritual gifts and serving within the church over and over and over again. But the word charis, this word gift, is only used 5 times. Remember I told you there's multiple words that are being used for it there. You might even, if you've got your Bible and you can see 1 Corinthians chapter 12 right now, verse 1 says this, concerning spiritual gifts. And the word for gifts there is pneumatikos. Now, you can probably tell root word there is pneuma. And does anyone know what that is? It's pneuma. What's that? Okay, it's wind or spirit, right, is the idea. Hey, you got pneumonia, right? Okay, wind, spirit, it's the word for the spirit. So even as 1 Corinthians 12, an entire chapter of the Bible, 31 verses devoted to the topic of spiritual gifts, as it begins, the word for gifts, again, isn't upon how incredible the person is and how talented they are and that sort of thing. The emphasis is upon the Holy Spirit's work in and through his people. Pneumatikos is the word, and the Spirit is right there in the middle of it. So now we've seen grace is at the root of one of the words for gifts, and it's God's grace toward his people and the giving of the gift, his generosity towards them. Then we see pneumatikos, and the idea is that the Holy Spirit's at work in giving this gift through his people. Pretty different than what we might think of when we just think of the word gift on our own. He goes on to say in chapter 12, verse 5, so far we've seen pneumatikos, then he goes on to use the word in verse 5, diakonia, and I've mentioned already, it's usually translated as ministry or service, and the idea is translated in the ESV as varieties of service. I mentioned to you already, we get our word deacon from this. In Acts chapter 6, deacons were ministering to the church by serving food during church gatherings. It's one of the key things that they were doing. Now, let me just ask you this. Does it necessarily take an exceptional talent to serve food? Now, some of us who have seen Christian and Gemma do what they do might think, well, kind of in some ways, but you get the big picture, right? Serving food, it's not something exceptional, miraculous type of thing. But this is what deacons were doing. They were ministering to the church by serving food at church gatherings. So here's another word, diakonia, that's being used as it talks about spiritual gifts. And these words are being used interchangeably in 1 Corinthians 12. Let me move on to the next word here. Verse 6, energema is the word. It's usually translated workings or operations or activities. We get our word energy from this. The idea seems to be service that requires effort or energy, right? Not that there are types of service that don't require effort, right? They all require effort, but some that are really engaged in energy and in activity and effort and that sort of thing. Another word being used for spiritual gifts. So you say, well, Pastor Ron, what's the deal here? What's the takeaway in this? Listen to this. In all of these words, God is the one that's doing the empowering. The emphasis is upon him giving the gift. The emphasis is upon the Holy Spirit in the giving of the gift. The emphasis is upon serving. It's not upon the spectacular work of the individual with the gift. It's God's generosity, his grace, his mercy toward his people in giving the gift. And if we could keep that in mind, how could we ever get big heads about what our role is within the church, right? It's all given by God to us as he's designed and seen fit. So again, in all of these words, God's the one who does the empowering and gets the glory for it. Let me move on here and just say this. Consider this. The very essence of what is taking place when Christians serve in their church. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for what? For the common good. It's for the common good of the body of Christ that we are given gifts. And are our gifts used even outside the church to benefit people who aren't a part of the body of Christ? Absolutely. I'm just saying, like I said earlier, emphasis or priority being given to how they're exercised within the church. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Let me just say this. The Holy Spirit is intent on ministering to the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is intent on ministering to the body of Christ, to the people of God. No wonder the Holy Spirit is called in Scripture the Helper. The Helper. John chapter 14, verse 16, verse 26, 15, 26, 16, 7, being referred to as the Helper. Much of the Holy Spirit's help, much of the Holy Spirit's help, his encouragement and his teaching comes to us, guess how? Through Christians. Comes to us through Christians who make up the body of Christ. When you walk in here on Sunday morning, how many of you have ever been encouraged by somebody that was here on a Sunday morning? Yeah, I see some people doing this. Yeah, and I heard somebody say all the time, did you know that you are part of that taking place, that God wants to use you to benefit the people here at the church for the common good, to encourage one another? And so who's empowering, who's at work behind that? The Spirit of God is engaged in that and involved in doing that. Much of the Holy Spirit's help, though, much of his encouragement, much of his teaching comes to us through other people when they make themselves available to God and the Spirit of God works and ministers through the gifts that he's given to us. It is truly special to be a part of that. Remember 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, to each, not some or most, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I want to read to you 1 Thessalonians 5:19. And thinking about what we've been talking about this morning, I want you to answer this question. How does 1 Thessalonians 5:19, and I'll give it to you in just a moment, how does this verse take on a broader, more sobering application, knowing that the Holy Spirit is intent on giving gifts to his people and manifesting his work for the good of the church through each and every Christian who attends East Valley Church? Let me just read 1 Thessalonians 5:19 to you, and you've probably seen it before. Do not quench the Spirit. What happens when you belong to and you're a part of the body of Christ and you don't participate with the gift that God's given you to benefit the body of Christ? What happens? The Spirit of God is quenched in some way, right? Have you ever thought about this verse within the context of we've been each given a gift to serve? When we're not here, when we're here and we're disconnected and just checking a box that we went to church and attended on Sunday. By the way, if that's you, I'm still glad you're here. But the Spirit of God is not freed up, I would say, to accomplish all that God desires might be accomplished because we are indispensable to what God is doing. Now, that's not the same as saying God's dependent upon us to do what he wants to do. If you haven't figured it out yet, God could do whatever he wants to do. Whether or not you want to cooperate or not, he can. But what's amazing is that he has chosen what he wants to do and accomplish, and it involves us. So that we should be able to say, God, I'm amazed. I get to be a part of what you want to do today, right? You're the one that set me apart for service. Lord, help me to just cooperate with you in that and be available to you that the Spirit of God may not be quenched. I appreciate this little quote here that I read in something that John Piper had said about quenching the Spirit. He wrote, God has granted to Christians the ability either to restrict or release what the Spirit does in the life of the local church. God has granted to Christians the ability either to restrict or release what the Spirit does in the life of the local church. The Spirit comes to us as a fire, either to be fanned into full flame and given the freedom to accomplish his will, or to be doused and extinguished by the water of human fear, control, flawed theology. You could add to that not participating, gossip, slander, whatever else. It's like throwing a bucket of water on the flame of the Spirit of God when you consider what he wants to accomplish in his church. So if the Holy Spirit is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good to every believer within the church, how do we know what these gifts or ministry assignments are? How do we know what they are? That's a good question to be asked, right? And I said to you earlier, we look to Scripture. But when we look to Scripture, here's what we're going to find. There are six lists that contain spiritual gifts within Scripture, six listings of them. And every one that you look at is different. None of them are identical. And we're going to talk in the weeks to come about what perhaps the implications of some of that is. None of those lists are identical. There are six primary ones. And I want to keep saying this to you. We look to Scripture when we want to understand spiritual gifts, but when we do, we immediately find out six different lists. None of them are identical. So what does the church often do? Most Bible students, many churches say, okay, and we like to systematize things and make nice little charts out of everything. So most Bible students consult all six of those lists, and they attempt to consolidate them into one comprehensive list. So if you've got a spiritual gift, it must fall into what you see in one of those six things. And then what I find us doing in the church sometimes is going, well, I'm not really sure. That person seems to do this in a way that's really special that God blesses, but it doesn't really fit into our list of six lists. And we struggle with that, and we kind of almost force it in somewhere, basically. Like when you were a kid and you were doing the little games and you had blocks and one was shaped like a square and one was shaped like a triangle. You could try to shove it into the wrong shaped hole, right? We kind of do that within the church sometimes. And so what we don't do is this. We don't really consider why God might give one list to one church and another to another church. And we're going to talk about that in the weeks to come. One of the things that's unique about me teaching in this way is that it's harder for me to gauge how long things are going to take. I intended to go a little bit longer today, but we're at the time where I need to bring this to a close. And I want to encourage you to say, be coming out and hearing more about this, because what I'm hoping you took home today is you're needed here. You're needed here. Not only are you missing out, but the church is missing out when you're absent or you're not participating in putting to work the gift that God has given you. East Valley Church, all of you who are here today, we need you. This is a really neat and interesting topic. And I tell you what, as we talk more about it each week, I want to say it's going to be a little bit like a puzzle where at the beginning, things are just like, you don't even know what you're looking at, right? And you finally start to get some pieces around the end and it begins to make a little more sense and a little more sense. My hope is that over the weeks we spend together, and I intend to, by the way, if I haven't told you guys this, June 21st is when I go in for surgery. It's been scheduled. We will be done with this before June 21st. And it shouldn't surprise you to say, we're going to be saying, so now that you've heard what you've heard here, what are you doing with that? And we're going to be giving you opportunities to say, where can I get plugged in and where can I use the gifts God has given me? Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you all. I think I'm going to invite Brother Joel Helveston to come and make all announcements except for the bundt cake one, because I already took that.